Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You have me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my co-host, who was once arrested for throwing peaches at Richard Nixon, Stephen Robles. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I don't know if that timeline works out, my birth year of Nixon, but well, yeah, we can
I'm
go
not
going to
argue with it.
What? Now,
it seems like a fact.
I would throw a peach, but I don't know if you saw my tweet the other day, but I have beef with watermelon. I don't know how you feel about watermelon.
I don't like it.
Like, you don't like eating it?
No, I don't like it. I don't think it tastes good.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Nothing about it.
No, I just find watermelon to be the most annoying fruit to buy, transport, and store of any other fruit. It's heavy. It's awkward. It rolls around in the car when you have it in there. You can't put it in a grocery bag and carry it with other groceries. It's just, it's literally the worst. And I think most people agreed with me on Twitter. And so that's all.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think it's disgusting. And I also agree with all of those things, and I don't have to put up with them because I think the fruit itself tastes bad. It's not worth all of that aggravation.
I agree. Well, now what do you feel though about watermelon flavored things like a Jolly Rancher?
Get out of here.
You don't even like that? No,
I just don't like the flavor.
Okay.
In general, let alone the texture of like fresh watermelon. Like the fresh watermelon is worse than the candy flavor of it.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
No.
Have you seen the memes? This is all HomeKit related because you eat watermelon in a home. Have you seen the people that put yellow mustard on watermelon?
Are your legs tired? Because that was a bit of a walk to get to that reasoning. I have seen that. I have seen people do that, which I think is weird. And it's not going to make me try watermelon.
Listeners, reach out. Tweet at us. What are your feelings about watermelon? And put the hashtag HomeKit Insider and mention us. And we'll confuse the world that who doesn't listen to this why everyone's tweeting about watermelon. Let's do it. We actually do have some HomeKit news, so let's roll to that as a watermelon rolls around the car. I'm just trying to I'm stretching both ways. I'm just trying to.
You're doing a split right now because it's just
tying in all the threads. First news: Omnia Blinds. They've announced plans to release their first set of thread-compatible roller blinds, and these will be HomeKit compatible as well. So you've heard us talking about Hunter Douglas for a long time, and if you were looking for another option in the smart blind world, Omnia Blinds, and we'll put the link in show notes to it. They're going to have some ones for you. They got a bunch of colors. I think it's like over 100 something different fabrics and colors to choose from. 170 different options there. So if you're looking for smart shades, this is going to be another good option coming up. You don't have anything that they've made in the past, do you?
No, not yet.
Well, totally new to the scene. Omnia Blinds. Okay. Arlo is the security camera system. We've talked about Arlo cameras in the past. They actually have a new subscription service, which includes 24/7 monitoring. And these are called the Arlo Secure and Secure Plus, $10 and $15, respectively. You can get up to 30 days of 2K resolution recording on that first Arlo Secure plan. And then you can also get 4K recording if you do the Secure Plus deal. And now the monitoring one, it says emergency agents are available 24/7, can verify the emergency before calling. So this looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you pay for that Arlo Secure Plus plan, that it basically could act as a somewhat of a like security system where Arlo's monitoring service would call the police, like if someone tries to break in. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the that Sentinel camera that I have where they have like the live monitoring whenever something gets detected. So I believe that's how it's going to work. So you're going to get, you know, some motion alert. It's going to say, oh, there's a person, there's a vehicle, something that's going to go to Arlo. Arlo's going to review that. And then with a one button press, they can send emergency services, fire, medical, police, whatever. And they're able to update you live through the app as something's going on. And they're able to keep the police or emergency services in the loop as well as they're responding. So they know what to expect when they arrive on the scene.
Gotcha.
They have your location of your, you know, cameras and all that. One of my favorite and yet underrated features on Arlo, they have the E911 option. So say, like, we've talked about this, but like, say I'm out in like Vegas at CES and my doorbell goes come off and there's like some spooky man with a crowbar going at my front door.
Yes.
You know, if you normally would just call 911 and you're out of town, which is what happens more often than not. You're like, you're on vacation or something and you call 911, they got to route it to back to your hometown and make sure they get in contact with the correct local police department there. With E911, they actually route you to your local police department where your house is. So they route you to the correct authorities when you are calling emergency services, which I think is brilliant. And now they can kind of take advantage of similar stuff with this. Just when they see something, they know where your house is. So they're able just to handle all of that.
Cool.
I also like that you have unlimited 4K recording in the cloud if you got like the Arlo Ultras.
That's pretty sweet.
I mean, we're looking at HomeKit, 10 days of 1080p recording? Sure, unlimited cameras now with the new
iCloud Plus.
The new plans coming out this fall, iCloud Plus. Yeah, but 1080. We even had a question last week. Where's the higher resolution? So, man, 4K, unlimited recording, that's awesome.
And so that's the $15 a month plan. Let me ask you this. I actually just canceled my Canary subscription because I had a Canary deal. I think it was $10 a month for 30 days of recording. I had a couple Canaries in my old house. But going forward, as I build a new house, I'm thinking about just going all HomeKit Secure Video now that we can do unlimited cameras so I can have no other monthly fee aside just from my Apple One subscription that I'm going to pay anyway. Do you think it's worth it, or do you actually pay for any of these subscription services from the camera people themselves?
I do, but I'm pretty deep into Arlo at the moment. I've got a lot of Arlo cameras. We'll talk about another one in a little bit before we get to listener questions. But I have several Arlos, including my doorbell. I found it to be more reliable than the Logitech one with HomeKit Secure Video. I think their AI is better with package detection, vehicle detection, animal detection, all of that. You get the animated glyphs when something happens, like it'll like zoom in and show you like what was the motion that tripped your alarm. So I like all of those aspects, and the cloud recording is better. So I was already paying for the Arlo stuff already with my regular cameras, and I'm probably going to do this as well because it's not much more. And I like that we get that unlimited cloud recording. I mean, they've always had the 4K, I believe. It might have been like local versus the cloud.
Right.
So this will be an upgrade for my Ultra, my two Ultra cameras that I have, which makes a big difference. I mean, if you got something that's far away, you cannot zoom in with 1080 and get a clear picture of what's going on.
No. Nope.
There's no point in having a 4K camera if you can like only access it like locally or something. So this makes way more sense to be able to get unlimited cloud storage of 4K video.
That is pretty cool. All right, so Acara, our friends over at Acara, they've had several things announced recently. Well, not announced, official, we'll say, you know, because we talked about something a couple episodes ago. We won't talk about that. Anyway, they have some official releases. Their Acara M2 hub that we've talked about on previous episodes, the G2H camera, some of their sensors like door and window, they're available in France, Germany, Spain, and the UK now. So if you live in those countries, you can get that stuff. They're actually through the Apple online store. And then also their TVOC air quality monitor, which we spoke about a couple episodes ago, maybe, maybe not under embargo. Andrew's holding it right now in the video. That is actually like officially official. We got an email it's officially the morning as we record that Acara is like, hey, we're happy to introduce this thing that the HomeKit Insiders introduced weeks ago, but it's official now. And I actually had mine set up. I found my Acara M2 hub in storage because, again, in the process of moving, things got moved around, looking for all my hubs. I set up my M2 hub again. I got questions about that in a minute. And I set up the quality monitor, and it's very nice. You can actually, if you're interested, we're going to talk about it, but there's a discount code that Acara is offering just anyone if you want a discount code. We'll put that in the description. If you'd like to listen very quickly, it's TVOCPR22224, 3214. But anyway, that'll be in the show notes. Don't worry about memorizing that. Okay. You can use that on Amazon as a promo code, and it's like $45. But I set mine up. You got your air quality monitor set up, Andrew?
No. I still have the little pull tabs in the bottom. Check it out.
Yeah, what?
Little pull tabs.
Were you waiting for the official announcement? Like you didn't even want to risk talking about it again?
Okay, we knew when the announcement was coming because after they're like, hey, don't say that, they told us when the official date was.
Right.
They said it was coming on the 22nd. So we knew it was coming today, but we didn't get any, like, they didn't send the presser before the launch. Like, it was just like, here it is, live now.
Right.
So I did write it up this morning, but yeah.
Right.
So what's your experience with it? I guess as the really quick, the basics here. So three sensors inside, TVOC, total volatile organic compounds in your air, humidity and temperature sensor, E-ink display on the front, high contrast ratio, which get about a year of battery life, and it communicates over Zigbee 3. But again, all I know is what's on the box because I have not set mine up yet.
So it's pretty cool. I'm using it in the Acara app right now because for the life of me, I cannot get this into HomeKit. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the Akar app, it's really cool. We have, I want to try my best. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, which you subscribe to the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel.
This is flawless video work.
Flawless.
Oh, I love when it moves in
That's
and out.
That's it. This is, you're looking right now if you're watching, but I will describe it. This is the three sensors in the Akara app. And there we have the TVOC density, which is the air quality, the temperature, and the humidity. And this is, for what it's worth, it's pretty far away from my M2 hub. And it's through like 1, 2, 3, 4 walls. And I've not had any connectivity issues. So when it comes to the Zigbee and its connectivity, that's been working great. So kudos on that one. And when you go into the air quality in the Akara app, if you're interested in that, again, I'll do my best to see if it will show up here. This is, oh, it's beautiful. Okay. So this is the air quality like graph it tells you. And I had not had an air quality monitor personally before, but this is showing you the, what is the MGM again? What does that stand for? Anyway, apparently the less the better. I guess it's the less junk in the air. It means better quality. So that's the point. And so it shows you this graph and it tells you excellent on the bottom because the lower parts per million, less stuff in the air. So that's better quality. It has excellent and then good. And so you can see a day view of what it has been today. And you can also see a week view, what it has been for the past week. And then you can kind of scroll back and forth. Apparently the graph does go all the way down into like very poor and poor. The room that I have it in has not reached that. So that's probably positive. It's a good thing. But yeah, pretty cool. Oh, you can even, interesting. You can even do a full scale thing. It's going to take forever on the video to do. You can do like a full scale where it shows you like all the red, yellow, and good. And I guess our, like mine has been at that bottom the whole time. So anyway, it's pretty cool. And I guess it means that there's decent air quality in that room. Now, let me ask you this though. For some reason, I cannot get this thing into HomeKit. So the last place I had my Akara M2 hub set up was in my old house, connected to my old network, and I didn't factory reset it. Maybe that's the issue. I have to try that. But I set it up where I am now. It's right over here. I'm looking at it right now. And it automatically connected to the Wi-Fi network, I guess because it was talking to the app or whatever. So it was on the network, no problem. It does not see the rooms of the house. Like, and I did the thing where you go into the settings of the Akara app. I think, what is it? It's under profile. And there's like that HomeKit option. Like there's a literal HomeKit option there in the app. You tap that. And then there's those two options, HomeKit devices and name synchronization. And so what I had done before was I always go to name synchronization first. And now they offer this option where it's like, do you want Akara to pull the names from your home app or vice versa, send the Akara rooms to your HomeKit home. And so I chose sync HomeKit to Akara, and it gives me this little affirmative message. Yay, sync successful. But then nothing is in the Akara app. I see none of the rooms, and the Akara devices are not in my home app. Andrew, am I doing anything wrong here?
I don't know. I don't really understand where... I still understand where you were when you started this. So like you hadn't reset it. So you were coming from your old house with this over.
Yes.
You didn't reset it and you just connected and it should have, and you had the same Wi-Fi and everything.
Well, and I guess that was the part I misspoke. I connected it to Ethernet here at this new house.
Okay.
So the hub is connected directly to Ethernet because the M2 hub can do that. So it's not on Wi-Fi. It's just on the Ethernet. But it's connected to the network, you know, see it on my phone, like in the Akara app.
So none of your Akara stuff is showing in the home app.
Well, I removed all my Akara stuff because this is the air quality monitor is the first one.
Okay. Well, that might be your problem then because you removed it in the home app, but Akara thinks it's still in the home app. So when you're hitting sync, the Akara app is trying to pull in, but you've deleted it from the home app. So you need to basically reset it and then re-add it to HomeKit. You need to like turn off or just nuke the HomeKit part in the Akara app.
Nuke it. Okay.
Like, yeah, whatever. If there's like a disconnect from a HomeKit button, tap that. If there's not, you're going to need like a factory reset or something because your Akara thinks it's still paired, but HomeKit said forget you. So
get you and forget it too. Sorry. I had to do it.
Painful.
I had to do it. You know what? You're a smart guy, Andrew. I think you're absolutely right. Because the hub, which you used to, or I used to be able to see it in the home app, is not there. And so
there you go.
That totally explains it. So I will have to figure out how to reset both the hub, which that's pretty easy, and then reset the air quality monitor. That might be a little more challenging. I'll have to figure out how to do that. But I'll do that. Follow up for next time, listeners. That's my experience. And then next time you can actually set yours up and do it. Do you have other air quality monitors set up, though, in HomeKit, yeah, right?
Yeah, I got several.
You got several. Well, we'll talk more about it next time. I had a question for you, and this may not even apply because I know you're on that beta train, but iOS 14.7 came out last week as you listen and watch this, and it included updates for across the line, iPhone, Apple Watch, Apple TV, everything, including HomePod. And so my HomePods are now running 14.7, and I was hoping things would get less glitchy because people on Twitter and I've experienced like my HomePods just messing up a lot recently, it seemed like, on the 14.6. And so now I'm on 14.7, and I have some data to share, but are you running 14.7 on anything? Or are you on the total beta train?
I've got one HomePod on 14.7 now, and the rest are all on HomePod 15.
So are you able to evaluate that one HomePod that's on 14.7? Have you noticed any improvement with that pod?
It's my wife's HomePod in her office, and I have not heard anything good or bad.
Okay.
She hasn't said there's been any problems before, and she hasn't said there's any problems now.
Okay.
So,
well, I feel like anecdotally.
You
know, anecdata. People use that term as like, this is just my experience of it, but I'm going to call it data. I feel like it's been a hair more consistent, my big HomePods, because for the past several months on 14.6, they've like not even known how to play music sometimes. Like we'll ask them, play this song by this artist, and it'll be like, maybe, and then just not do anything. And I feel like the 14.7, even though it's just been a few days as we record this that it's been updated, seems a little more solid. Shortcuts seem to run a little more, I was going to say more better. Sorry, that's just how the sentence came out.
You can talk really well today.
I don't know what is going on. So I think it's a little better, but I'm curious to hear from listeners. If you're running 14.7 and you're not totally on the beta train, have you had better experience on your HomePod performance specifically from 14.7 when it comes to just Siri commands and also running shortcuts? I'd be curious to know. I feel like it's better, but don't know for sure. But that's been my experience. I will say, since we've come into this house, I've been using my big HomePod. I have two as set as a stereo pair as the speakers for the Apple TV in the living room. And that's been working pretty solid. I've not had like disconnection issues. Every time I turn on the Apple TV, it uses the stereo pair and it stays set up properly. So I don't know if you ever tried that, listeners, but using a stereo pair of the big HomePods, at least, it's a pretty good experience with the Apple TV. Okay. Well, Andrew, talk to me. You had said you have some thoughts about an Arlo doorbell. Is that correct?
Just Arlo in general.
In general.
Because it is time for the scoop on the chicken coop, because we have been working a bunch on it recently.
Scoop on the coop.
Stop laughing. Everyone, he's laughing at me. He's laughing
scoop
at me.
On the coop.
Home kitties, get him.
We're going to talk about that naming in a second. Oh, my word. Twitter failed me.
You mean came through? I didn't see anyone in the HomeKit horde. I'm just saying.
Not a
anyway,
single person.
Back to the coop.
Yeah, not a single person said horde. I was so mad.
If you guys don't give a crap about this whole chicken coop stuff, then just tell me on Twitter, because this is just my personal project I'm working on, and it's like problem solving.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
yeah,
all about it at the moment. But I understand a lot of people may not care whatsoever about chicken coops. But we've been working a bunch on it recently, and Steven, I am sending you a picture of what it currently looks like in our build process.
Wow!
And we got the roof in and stuff like that. So I need to get really serious about a couple things, which is the automatic door and the cameras, which is where Arlo comes in.
Let me just say, I'm looking at this picture now. This looks like a very nice chicken coop. Like, this looks upscale.
Oh, it's a classy nice coop. It's a classy coop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start a business called Classy Coops.
ClassyCoop.com.
Yep.
You might have to buy that domain before this episode airs. Someone else is going to grab it, squat on it.
No, apparently this thing took so much work that these things would have to be like $5,000, which is roughly what they were costing if I was trying to buy one.
Yeah.
Versus what I bought in lumber, build it myself. But yeah, everyone's been confusing it for like a playhouse or some she shed for Faith, all sorts of different stuff. Not a chicken coop.
It's a very small shed for a person.
Well, I mean, she's a small gal. She can just She's like, no, uh-huh. There's bigger doors in the back where she can walk through.
Oh, so. I see. You got the back doors. ClassyCoop.com is taken, by the way. Sorry to let you. You can grab the .biz if you'd like.
Oh, ClassyCoop.biz.
.io.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I was looking, I think I picked out a door and I'm going to run it off of solar panels. And I got, well, I didn't get it yet, but the one that I had planned to get is very similar to like the Lutron outdoor switch that we had talked about earlier this year, in that they actually take all like the internal components and they just encase them in resin. So it's like a freaking brick when you hold it, like it's really heavy and really strong, and it super seals it against water as well as like temperature and stuff like that. So the one that I found is just like that to pull the door open and close. It's got extra locks to keep out like, you know, Mr. Fox or Mr. Raccoon, whoever's trying to get in there. So that's what I think I'm going to go with. But my wife is like, well, what if a chicken's outside when the door closes? Because it's going to be on a timer, because if we're not here, the door still needs to be able to open and close. She's like, what if one of the gals doesn't make it inside before the door closes? You know, like, well, we'll just have our neighbors in. Well, they can't see back there. They can't see if there's like a chicken out. Or, you know, that's, you know, what, how are you going to make them walk back there? So I was trying to figure out how we could monitor this coop while we were gone. Mm. Well, I was looking and Googling, and then I was trying to figure out how to extend the range on my Arlos. And it came across something, and it's like, your Arlo range is like 300 feet. And I was like, it's like 300 feet? Hmm. My coop is only like 10 feet long. And I'm like, there's no way there's 30 coops distance between where the coop is and the house. That's how I measure things in coops.
Yeah, unit of measurement, coops. Yeah.
Oh, there's at least a 30 coop range on the Arlos.
That's a stone's coop away. Anyway.
Yeah. So I was like, dang, I think it might like reach. So I took out one of my Arlos and I mounted it inside the coop, and I got a perfect shot, and it connects. So I can get 2K footage of the chicken coop from the house and from anywhere. So this is just, you know, more reason that we're sticking with the Arlos. Heck, this is really far out there. I mean, we've got almost an acre of land. It's all the way at the back of our property, and the Arlo is still connecting and streaming live footage from the chicken coop. So as we put those chickens in, we'll be able to see if there's any stragglers still not in, at which point we still need someone to actually manually go like open the door and put the chicken in. But at least we know if they are in their house or not at night. So okay. I feel better. We're getting somewhere. I never figured out how to make a, you know, HomeKit connected door for the coop, but at least on a schedule, and I can monitor and make sure that they're actually in there via HomeKit. So still good, still something, still progress. Maybe next week we'll have the roof up, but we're getting close.
That's cool. I wonder if you had an army of Switchbot fingers, could they close a door and then also open the door? I mean, Switchbot comes with that little, like, the thing you can tie around a switch, you know, so it goes both ways. But anyway, very good. Chicken coop update. So...
No, it's chicken coop scoop. Scooping the coop.
Scooping the coop. I want to see you put an air tag on every chicken. That's what I want to see, so you can track their location.
And then with iOS 15, I'll get an alert whenever they leave.
Exactly. Boom. Done.
Flawless. We just need a chicken collar for air tags. Which, but super, super fast. Apple's MagSafe battery pack. Completely unrelated to anything we talked about.
Yes.
Well, the battery pack, I hope this is made public by the time this episode airs. Because I just got a text. I got an email stuff from Nomad. And it has to actually launch. I was told it was launching. But it hasn't as of when we recorded this. They came out with a leather cover for the MagSafe battery pack. And I can't tell if I like it or am appalled by it. Because like we're like at peak accessory for accessoriness of this. And it's adding to the thickness and the weight of the MagSafe battery pack. But I also got a lot of people complaining about the white color of this thing.
Right.
It's like, I don't know what I think about this. I honestly just don't. I'm like, wow, it looks really nice, but also why?
Okay, now hold on a second. First of all, you're holding the MagSafe battery pack for our listeners. Overall, I mean, pretty good. We'll link to your videos about it.
Oh, I love this thing. I really, really like this thing. I've used a lot of third-party ones, and they've been, to be honest, garbage. I hate that you need to manually turn them on. The magnets are weak. They are big and bulky. Yeah. They have been just awful for me. And this thing is so, you know, compact of just putting it on here, again, on the camera. I don't think this is adding much weight or thickness to this at all.
No.
especially compared to the third-party ones. I mean, the ones I've been showing up in videos a lot are the Hyper, the Anchor,
right,
and the Mophie ones. and this is smaller than all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind the white, but it is pretty bright compared to like this Nomad case I've got on, brown Nomad case. Just imagine if this was just all leather. It just matched my phone case. But I switch my phone cases like every other day, so.
How does that leather stay out? Because it can't totally surround the MagSafe battery pack because the, you know, there has to be contact. So is it just like a sleeve or like a, how does that go on?
My expectation is it's just like the AirPods case. I mean, think of like the AirPods Pro case, like it's got that hat. It's super, super thin. I think they usually put a piece of like silicone and then it's like tight and then just kind of suctions itself on basically and just stays on there. I mean, I've never had it fall off my AirPods before.
Right, right.
They could also use like the micro suction that they use for their similarly ridiculous product, their leather cover for MagSafe.
Yes. I mean, that does feel like peak accessory.
You can't argue that it doesn't like look nice. I mean, it just looks nice. It
looks good, but yeah, I mean, $25 to cover your puck, which the puck stays either by your bedside or in your car. Like, it's not like a bunch of people are seeing it, so I don't know. I'd be very curious.
I travel with mine, which is actually my biggest problem with the MagSafe battery pack. Is that I want to take this with me.
Right.
But before I wasn't really taking a lightning cable because I was taking, you know, MagSafe and then a watch charger and that'd be it. And now I'm like, I need a lightning cable to charge my battery pack.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody talking about that. I guess you can't charge the MagSafe battery pack with MagSafe. Like you can't put the puck on the pack, right? Like that doesn't do anything?
Nope.
Because it's only one way. That's weird. Huh.
I know. I was really hoping there'd be like MagSafe input into this thing, but there's just not. I mean, it would have made it thicker.
Now you have a Pro Max, right?
Right.
Have you seen like how much battery you get from slapping that on? Like, does it increase 40-50%? I know it can't fully charge, but
I tweeted about this and I got a lot of people asking about it, but it's about a 53% charge. I went from 1% because I didn't want it completely dead, but from like a 1% battery to 53% in almost exactly 2 hours.
That's pretty good.
Is what it was. And for me, I'm happy with those results. I mean, 50% charge on like the Pro Max is a ton of juice.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, this is mainly about like going out on the weekends or something.
Right.
I mean, we've got like this weekend now, I'm going to a bachelor party and we're going to be going to the bars and stuff like that. And I know I'm going to be between streaming music or taking photos or whatever else. Yeah. Like I'm probably going to not be charging my phone very well.
Right.
And being able just to stick this on there and get that, you know, extra 50% juice is going to be super, super helpful. Going out for the night, being able to slap this on, get you through the night if you had a long day using your phone. Right. So I think that's just the perfect amount of juice for this. And it's small enough that it comes on and off easily. And I can keep it in my pocket when I'm done with it or don't need it. And even the charging speed, I don't mind because it doesn't add that much bulk when it's on the phone.
Right.
I don't care how long it takes. Like it's giving me the extra juice that I need. And it's still like smaller than having put on like Apple's whole silicone.
Yeah. The whole case thing.
Battery case.
Yeah.
So I like this. I like this a lot. You know, take this off versus a whole case, way better.
That's great.
I dig this a lot.
Listeners, check out, I will link to the YouTube videos that Andrew has with the MagSafe battery pack. Mine should be coming today as we record. So I'll have some thoughts on it, but I'm excited. I have the Anchor one and it just feels so big. I'm looking forward to having the Apple one and carrying that with me, you know, in a bag or whatever, and just throwing it on. So pretty cool. All right. Listener questions before we get to our naming debate. two good questions here. One, Tim Rand on Twitter was asking, is there such a thing as a UPS that is HomeKit connected? I found power strips, but do I need to buy both? And so listeners, if you don't know what that is, a UPS is like a battery backup that you would put between the power in the wall and your computer and devices. So it's like this big battery pack. You know, you can get varying sizes in commercial situations. You could have like server mounted UPSs. And the idea is that if power goes out or if there's like blips in power, that this UPS will provide constant power to your devices. In the event of a power outage, it would give you enough time to properly shut down all your equipment so the power outage just doesn't cut the power immediately. So really useful. I don't use one right now. I think once I get into a new house, I'll probably have one just because it's cool and it's also useful, especially if you have like sensitive equipment, like a big hard drive or like a Synology with a bunch of video footage. You know, it can protect that stuff from power surges. You know, a power surge protector can protect it from like surges, but if there's a power outage and your Synology just like shuts off immediately, these UPSs will at least give it a few minutes And I think there's even some models that will attach to a computer via USB. And so the computer can actually tell the UPS, you know, or the UPS knows we lost power, and the UPS can tell the computer to shut itself down. So like your Mac can shut itself down and your Synology can shut itself down automatically. So they're really cool devices. I do not think there are any HomeKit enabled UPSs. I mean, it's a pretty niche device. I could be wrong, but you don't know of any, do you?
Nope, I don't think there's anything like that.
Yeah,
I do have a UPS on my Mac Pro here because I do have a lot of hard drives. We've had issues with power before. So mine will plug in and it'll get me like, as long as I'm not like exporting a video at that moment, it'll give me like 20, 30 minutes or something to be able to shut down my gear and make sure I don't have any, you know, corruption or issues with my stuff.
Yeah.
But no, you kind of have to have both. Also probably not advised. Like usually a UPS has like essentially surge down the back, you know, it'll have like six outlets out the back, depending on how big of one you get or more. So they usually probably wouldn't recommend to plug in like an extra surge protector / power strip into that.
Probably not good.
But I know what you're going for. I would maybe, depending on which one, go for just like an actual like smart plug and plug those in. If you can get ones that are the small enough that'll fit into how your UPS is configured.
Right. Yeah. And I'll put a link to one on Amazon. This one is $62. It's from the company APC, which makes a lot of different.
That's what mine is.
Yeah. APC is very popular. I've actually used these in like server mounted, like serious situations, but $62 and you get, what is it like four? You get five plugs that are battery backed up and then just two other plugs that just pass power. It has the USB connection, so you can connect it to your computer and your computer will shut down if power goes out. So all that good stuff. It is recommended, especially if you live in a place where you have what they call like dirty power or intermittent power. So you have like brownouts, you know, just power blip on and off. And sometimes your devices will just like lose power and have to restart. It's not great for different kinds of devices, especially ones with spinning hard drives and such. So yeah, they're a good idea. We'll put a link to that in show notes. Okay. George asked on Twitter, does a network of HomePods have a hive mind like the Zerg, the StarCraft reference, if you didn't know. You like that, Andrew? Did you ever play StarCraft?
I did play StarCraft. I was more of an Age of Empires guy, but I did play StarCraft quite a bit.
I enjoyed Age of Empires,
I appreciated
too.
Dwight's outfit on The Office. I knew StarCraft enough to recognize his costume.
Yes.
The one Halloween episode.
StarCraft. Played a lot of hours of that when I was in high school. It was a fun game. Anyway, do these HomePods have a hive mind or does each need to be set? George looks like he was setting one up for his partner, and one of his HomePods recognized both of their voices. And now in his new home, he's got two regular HomePods, four HomePod minis. But when his wife talks to some of the HomePods, they don't recognize her. So yes, they are a hive in a sense, but you can turn on or off personal requests per HomePod. So if you have personal requests turned off on an individual HomePod, then it's not going to recognize people's voices. Is that right, Andrew? Am I correct?
It is, but I don't think that's what this is, because if you had personal requests off, then it probably wouldn't say, I don't know who you are, because it doesn't have to recognize voices. It's just universal, just goes.
Right.
So I think it seems to have personal requests on because it's trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
But they don't know who they are.
Right.
So I'm not sure why that would be, but it sounds like it would maybe set up correctly, but it sounds like there's something not communicating in terms of the individual profiles.
Right. And so, you know, you have to make sure, I think he already set this up, but you have to make sure the person is invited to the home. That's this way the HomePods will recognize their like iCloud account and their voice. You would do that in the home settings under the people. You make sure that they're there. And after that, yeah, it's the personal request thing. You probably have it on already, but you can double check that if you go into a specific HomePod in your home app, and you'll see personal requests as an option when you hit that little gear icon for settings. There's music, there's primary user for each thing. I didn't realize you could set that. You could set a primary user per HomePod, and it would like default to that person. That's interesting. Did you know about that?
Yeah.
So you got that. And then yes, there's the personal requests. So I would just make sure personal requests are on, like you probably have. And then there's also the require authentication for secure requests. Like if you want to send a message from yourself to someone else, but it's probably not that. I mean, it would say that they recognize a person. It would just, the HomePod would say, we need authentication, go to your device. So I will say HomePods can just be flaky in this. Like, it might require resetting the HomePod or restarting it, maybe power cycling it, but they can be a little finicky. I mean, do you run into these kind of issues between you and your wife, Andrew?
Yeah, on occasion, as I have before. I mean, we talked about my other issues with HomePod, like the other one randomly requiring me still, even on beta 3, to like authenticate requests for my secure accessories when it never has before, and none of my other ones do, and all of my settings are correct. That's a weird thing that's going on.
Right.
And then my one here in my studio that just occasionally doesn't know my iCloud account and said, I can't tell if you're signed in. Why? Nothing's changed. Why did you just forget it?
Right.
And these aren't even like a Siri versus, you know, Amazon's Assistant thing. These are just like basic like HomePod update software things that Apple apparently needs to polish.
Yeah. So yeah, George, try resetting a bunch of stuff. We'll see. Okay. And now finally, in conclusion, the HomeKit naming saga. People on Twitter spoke out and it was a little disappointing, I'll be honest. Many, many people in support of HomeKitties, it seems like, and Home... Some even said home kitters. I don't know about that.
Home kitteers. Like musketeer, like home kitteers. I thought it was funny.
Well, home kitteers was good. Yeah, I like that. Was Christopher on Twitter. He said home kitteers. I do really like that. I would, listeners, if you didn't hear that suggestion, maybe this week, if you're in favor of home kitteers, say that, lest we be stuck with home kitties. Now, Ray on Twitter, he was saying, listen, there are cat lovers and dog lovers, but the feeling is not mutual. Don't alienate a large group of people because of a cat-inclusive name. He recommended HomeKit Homies as the best. Other people have said HomeKit Homies with like the iOS at the end of Homies to be like funny in that way. Now, I will settle for the HomeKit Homies, and I think his cat argument is pretty solid. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Andrew?
I still think it works. Just because for the home kitties doesn't mean we don't like dogs. I've got two dogs. I love dogs. There's nothing... We're not alienating dog people just because we mention a cat. So I still think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see this poem written by Tim Rand?
I did.
Pretty good. Yes, it's a homily, he said. I thought about doing a dramatic reading here on the show, but perhaps I'll just link to it. Because maybe it's better read than spoken. I will link to this. Kudos to Tim for putting together this homily of our naming saga. So are we for real going to settle on home kitties? Is that going to be the deal?
Apparently. I can't think of what a group of kittens is called. I was going to say...
A gaggle.
I can use the term for... is it really? I don't think it's a gaggle. That's geese.
I went through this whole... I saw this thing on social media with all the namings of group things. Oh, it's a litter. Well, a group of kittens is a litter.
That makes sense. Well, the litter has spoken.
Oh.
The litter has
spoken. That just hurts. Get it? Now, the actual name for a group of cats is a clouder.
I knew that one, I think. Probably wouldn't have been able to say it on the spot, but I had known that one.
The HomeKit clouder doesn't really roll off the tongue, but it's an option. Home clouder. No, maybe not. Anyway, I want one last week, listeners. Home kitteers or home kitty?
Kitty.
Home kitteers or home kitty? I like home kitteers. I mean, we could even do like a little Photoshop.
Home kitty.
I'd love to see some fan art. Maybe the two of us kitties. Like, you know. With,
we could have a home icon with little cat ears on it.
No, no, with musketeer garb with a sword.
Adorable.
Oh my
cheesy
word.
This isn't a Renaissance fair. This is a serious tech podcast.
I'd be about the Renaissance fair.
Home kitties.
Home kitteers. Listeners, one last week.
Kitties.
Rise up, home kitteers.
Put your paws in the air.
We gotta end the show. This is terrible. Listeners, let us know. Tweet at us. Andrew and I's Twitter handles are in the show notes. If you haven't yet, we would appreciate a 5-star rating and review. We're in the top 100 tech podcast, Andrew. I don't know if you saw that, but we're like, we passed the Rubicon of 100. We're in the like top 90 or something. It's getting there.
Home kitties lifting us up.
Oh, please, listeners, I'm begging you. But leaving a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts greatly helps out the show. We would appreciate that. Tweet at us. Check out all the videos. YouTube.com/Apple Insider. We'll put a link to the YouTube channel in the show notes.
The HomeKit Insider YouTube channel.
Yes, that. We don't have a short URL yet, right?
Not yet, because we need more of you people to subscribe and to like.
Yes.
And to watch videos, because we still can't. We don't have full customization stuff yet, because we just spun up this channel.
Right.
So help us subscribe, watch the videos, listen in the background, so we can get these stats up, so we can get our custom URL
yes.
and all the other branding and stuff like that that we need.
And so I will put the first link in the show notes will be the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel. We just actually crossed 100 subscribers. I think you can get a custom name with that, right? 100? I don't know. I forget.
I don't know.
Anyway, we will put a link to that channel in the show notes at the very top. Check it out. Subscribe. You can watch the episodes there. And otherwise, just reach out. We love hearing from you. Let us know what projects you got going on, what products you'd like to hear about or are interested in. And we appreciate you listening and watching. See you next week, HomeKiteers.